Welcome to the next episode of Ordinary Christians. I'm here with Ron. Introduce yourself real quick.
Hi, guys. How are you? Over at Orland Park, locked down in an undisclosed location.
And who are you?
I'm also in Orland Park, locked down in a different undisclosed location.
And I'm in an obvious location. I'm in a control room at Faith Church. Social distancing. And we're going to be talking about coronavirus. In this episode, you're going to want to listen up, Ordinary Christians. Thank you. Well, welcome everyone to the next episode of Ordinary Christians. And I'm here on technology with my brothers, Ron Sitlau and Derek Bukema. And we are so excited to be able to do this with social distancing of miles apart.
And yet, many miles.
Ron,
hello. How are you?
Yeah, we're there. It's fun.
I'm in an undisclosed location.
I could tell in the bunkers. Yeah, it is the craziest. All three of us have gone to seminary. All three of us prepared for ministry. All three of us had no clue this would ever be part of our story in terms of doing ministry, reaching ordinary Christians, but yet in such a unique way, even now on this podcast. And, you know, we're going to keep going on the topic of the coronavirus because we think ordinary Christians, and ourselves included in that, need to talk. We need to figure out, how do we navigate this as followers of Jesus? And it's become real to each of us in different ways. And I think some of the audience who are listening are going to be surprised when Derek tells how real this virus is. Derek, take it away, buddy. What's going on?
Yeah, this became real to us because last week, Wednesday, my wife was having difficulty catching her breath. And so I had to take her to the emergency room. And there she was diagnosed with coronavirus. She was diagnosed with COVID-19. And she had had a cough, and we thought, this is probably just a cough. It's probably not anything more than that. And then she started having some more of the symptoms. But then, particularly when she was having difficulty breathing, it got real serious. So I dropped her off. It was frightening because I wasn't allowed to go in with her. I had to stay with the kids. There's a no visitor policy at the hospitals right now, which I think makes a lot of sense, but it's really a challenge to just drop. It was a challenge to just drop my wife off at the hospital and then leave her there and then not be sure what was happening. And I got texts from her, thankfully, so I was updated. And then I got a text from her saying they've diagnosed me with COVID-19. And because her case wasn't serious enough that she had to be intubated or on oxygen, I picked her up later that night and she rested at home and recovered at home. Over the course of the rest of last week, recovery was very slow, and it felt like almost no progress was being made, or just very slight progress being made. By God's grace, this past Monday or Tuesday, it's like there was a switch that flipped, and she got much better very quickly. And so it's at the point where she's like 95 to 98% better, maybe 100% better. The symptoms are gone. We're still making sure that we're self-quarantining to make sure that if there's any chance that we could get anybody sick because of the fact that she was diagnosed with it, I had the same symptoms except more mild. We wanted to make sure that we did not get anybody else sick. So we're staying in. We're going to wait till 2 weeks past the date of her most severe symptoms. That's what the hospitals are saying for her in terms of when she could come back to work. At that point, there is no chance that she would still be contagious. That's when we're going to wait till we see people or go grocery shopping or any such thing. But it's interesting because you see the statistics and you see the number of cases rising. It becomes real in a new way when it comes to your home and you realize that your wife has it and it's likely that you have it. It's likely that your kids have it. Mm-hmm. It just becomes way more real.
Oh, Derek, when you called me or texted me, whatever it was, and Ronnie, I was like, oh my goodness, it just became real because you're the closest that I know of someone. I've had a couple friends that have come down with it as well. And one friend said it was just wicked in his case. And he has also recovered. How about you, Ron? How real is it? Is it in your world at all, in ministry or anything, neighbor?
Yeah, I think the way it's most real is just working in with doctors and nurses who are part of our community. And we have an emergency room doctor who is on the front lines, a lot of nurses. And so talking to them, and kind of just being with them a little bit has been kind of intense. You know, these doctors, they're unflappable, and their humanity, they're very aware of the fragility of all this. And it's pretty intense.
They really are heroes too. The doctors and the nurses and all the medical staff that are taking care of these people who are coming in with symptoms of COVID-19, to just, you know, be in a time where there is scarce equipment, but to still gather yourself and go into the heat of the flame and to care for those that have this very contagious virus. It's something that is really amazing to see, the care of those who are medical professionals.
No doubt.
Amen to that.
Yesterday I was out in the front lawn. It was a beautiful day, and my neighbor, social distancing across the street, said, "Hey, Bob, did you hear our neighbor a few doors down is a police officer, and he came down with it and he's at home?" I said, "No, I didn't know that." He goes, "Yeah, my two neighbors, his backside of their house, their two houses have it." And it almost seems as if the virus is getting closer and closer to all of us. Derek, obviously, the most, and it is getting real. Is that's the only thing I keep saying, it's real. And that means the ordinary Christian that is listening is probably going, "Yeah, I know somebody." I have yet to have anyone real close to my world who's lost a loved one, but I anticipate that may be the case. In Northwest Indiana, they're anticipating, because they're studying the data, that between 400 and 700 people will pass away from this virus in the next couple of weeks. And when that I start going, okay, that's going to get real for me. How about you guys? Any, you know, data in your area?
One of my dear friends is the pastor of a church in the Chicagoland area, and one of the trustees at his church came down with it and then died from it. And when he came to the church, it was the first wedding that he did, was this particular person. And they've lost their life to the virus. And so I think that especially when you get into denser populations, there's even more transmission, and there's more stories of people who have contracted it, more stories of people who have died from it.
How about you, Ronnie?
Yeah, in Cook County, it's really in the west suburbs and in downtown. But one of the things that's true for us is that our testing is really hit or miss. And so there's if you look at the testing versus positive cases, they are, the more we test, the more positive cases they find. If they test less on a day, the less positive cases. And so until Illinois gets up to about 8,000 to 10,000 tests a day, we won't know how bad it is here. And I have a hunch that it's everywhere, just by the sense of the deaths. And so it's the real deal.
Yeah, it's likely an order of magnitude worse than it appears, even with the statistics that we presently have.
I agree. You guys, let's go to the question about, like, Derek, you know, what went on in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit, and Ronnie, you as well. You know, all of a sudden you're testing positive. Like for me, I'm 58 years old, and so I'm not at that age where I would be more fearful. But now all of a sudden things are coming in the news, and I'm hearing about a 57-year-old police officer in Chicago that passed away yesterday from it. You know, Derek, especially, you know, tell me a little bit about, like, how you're pondering that, how you pondered life in that moment, and guys, how we're handling it. In, as you know, it's real to you, Ron and to Derek.
Yeah, I know that when I was taking my wife to the hospital, you know, I was trying to be brave for her. And so I was just like, "This is fine. You know, you're okay right now. You're having difficulty breathing. They're going to help you breathe. We're going to get this under control. You're going to be fine. It's going to be all right." And I dropped her off and I pulled away and I just started crying because, you know, I'm scared for my wife. And my kids were asleep in the back. And, you know, I there were things that I was telling myself. You know, she's young and she's healthy. And so she's not a part of a vulnerable population. It's likely the case that even if she has it, because she didn't have a diagnosis of it yet, I was like, it's likely that if she has coronavirus, that she's going to make a recovery. It's going to be all right. But there's so much that's unknown about it. And that unknowingness kind of washed over me, and not having a treatment and not knowing a ton about the virus and having it be a novel virus, just all of that sort of stuff washed over. And I was scared.
Yeah.
And so I cried as I started driving my kids back home, and I prayed that my wife would come out of the hospital, that she would be okay. And God has graciously answered that with a yes. Mm. And it's forced me literally to my knees, along with my wife and my daughter, each, not every night, but many nights since the quarantine began. We would put my son to bed, and then the three of us will go, and in the front room of our house, we will literally get down on our knees and we'll spend time praying. And some of that is that, like, this virus is not something that we know how to attack. And it's the sort of thing where it very presently brings home that we need God, that we need God, and that he is in control. We continue to believe that. And so literally being on our knees has been so important. And then the Psalms are coming alive in new ways as I go through all this, and as people that I know are diagnosed, and as people that I know are losing jobs, and as people that I know are filled with anxiety, the Psalms are coming home in really beautiful ways. In Psalm 27, I preached last Sunday, and I've just been reading and rereading and praying and repraying the words of the Psalm. And it's so beautiful. I mean, these words have always been beautiful, but in the context of coronavirus, it just comes alive in a new way, where it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Yeah. One thing I've asked the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." And then the way that it ends, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage, and wait for the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
And so, like, the themes within that of longing to be in the house of God come alive. The fact that God is a light and a salvation and a stronghold is so important in the midst of all of this. And the resolute belief of the psalmist that he will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living is beautiful. And then the exhortation, the command at the end, is to say, be patient, be courageous. And I think that this is what Christians need to hear right now.
Yes.
What ordinary Christians need to hear is be patient and be courageous.
Yeah.
It's hard to do those things. It's hard to be those things, but knowing that the Lord is your light and your salvation enables you to be patient and be courageous.
No doubt. I had an experience the other night. I'm historically not a great sleeper, but I've had some nights where I slept really well and some nights that I did not sleep well at all. The other night, I went to bed about 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, I wake up. 12:15, 12:20. Finally, I put a radio on my ear and then I started listening to the radio and they were talking about the virus and I was thinking about ministry and how to handle this. And next thing I know, it's 2 minutes to three and I'm still awake. And that's when I said, okay, Lord, I'm coming to you. And I feel bad. I was, you know, like Samuel.
This took 3 or 4 hours, right?
Yeah. And and I literally had to dump it on the Lord. And I let go. I just said, okay, Lord, I can't handle all this by myself. I need to dump it on you. Prayed, and then I went back to sleep. And I did get a couple hours after that, which was thankful for. But that's the reality for Derek, for Bob. How about you, Ron? How are you pondering this?
Yeah, it's so interesting. I don't have it. So I'm not afraid of getting it, or I don't think, you know, I don't have any fear for my family per se. But you know what I think about is, you know, when you go to the hospital, you go alone.
Yeah.
And that to me is overwhelmingly sad. And like when I think about it personally, or sending my kid to the hospital, that's overwhelming to me.
Yeah.
In the sense that that's scary. That's, I've never, you know, it's horrible. Yeah, that right there, you don't want to die alone.
No. And that's happening. I mean, that is literally happening.
Everywhere.
I mean, I'm talking to doctors and nurses in our church are saying that, as Derek said, he had dropped his wife off. And literally, if she were really sick and had to get in on a respirator, a ventilator, Derek, you wouldn't be able to. And then we're hearing the stories where they pass away. And it's just crazy. I want to also shift to how this has changed ordinary Christians' lifestyles. You guys have young, Ronnie, your kids are in that just starting high school down to, you know, great elementary school. Derek, your kids are real young.
Yep.
This has rocked mom's worlds, dad's worlds, people sitting now all of a sudden. I mean, honestly, I'll just tell you my story and then I'll go to you guys. So I thought, oh, I've got a study on my main floor. My books are there. And I'm on a very, very important Zoom call. And I hear my wife talking to my grandkids on FaceTime. And I'm going, oh, I can't hear and I can't concentrate. So I hung up. I said, dear, I'm so sorry, but that was really awkward. And she goes, oh, I didn't think about that. So I have now had to recalibrate my life downstairs. I set up a new office down in the basement with a lighting and all that stuff to do all these Zoom calls. It's just kind of changed my world. How about you guys in just an ordinary life now and your lifestyle? How has that kind of changed?
Yeah, it is. Well, it's very different. You know, I'm with my kids a lot more and they can't play with their friends and I'm still working and Amy works. And so it is being a family all together all the time. And, you know, it's fun, but it's also, you know, the boys get emotionally exhausted and then, you know, they have boxing matches that we get to be a part of. And so it is, I don't like it. I don't like being told that I can't go somewhere. I think that is just so, I just can't stand it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, thinking about doing this for another month or something is pretty intense.
I think that one of the, it's part of the family life, right? It's just the worship life of the family is so different. Being able to go to church and to realize that you're a part of a larger group of believers who have all made vows of baptism, that they're going to help encourage you in the raising of your children, help you raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That is a beautiful reminder, and it is difficult to be separated from that. And but one of the things that has been really beautiful in all of this is ways that people have shown care. You know, when people found out that Aubrey was sick, we started having people just drop a few groceries on the front doorstep. And then I'd get a text after the fact, just, you know, check your front doorstep. And just those little ways of people reaching out and showing and expressing care has been really beautiful. But it's been really, really hard. I mean, I'm an extroverted person, so not being able to interact with any other people outside of my family is really hard, and I'm starting to go stir crazy.
So here's what we're going to do. You teed me up well. So I want to have people stay tuned to the next episode, because in the next episode, we're going to talk about worship and what Derek just said in terms of the good that we've seen God that's coming out of this. The whole life change of worship and how do you relate to people through technology. So thank you again, Derek, Ron, and myself are saying we love God, we love you, and as ordinary Christians, we look forward to having you here on the next episode of Ordinary Christians.